Good morning again. I'd like to begin my time with you with a, I want to say a poem, I don't know if that's the right word, by John Pavlovitz, and it's entitled, For Those Who Hurt on Mother's Day. I know that Mother's Day is a celebration for some, and it's also a day where some may be hurting. So I'd like to read this just to acknowledge there are many emotions on Mother's Day. Mother's Day. For many people that means flowers and handmade cards and Sunday brunches and waves of laughter. It means celebrations and gratitude and warm embraces and great rejoicing. It means resting fully in all that is good about loving and being loved. But not for some people. For some, it only means tears. For some, it just hurts. In the hearts of many, this day is a bitter, unsolicited reminder of what was, but no longer is, or a heavy holiday of mourning what never was at all. Maybe it is such a day for you. It might bring with it the scalding sting of grief for the empty chair around the table. It might come with choking regret for a relationship that has been severed. It might be a day of looking around at other mothers and other children and feeling the unwelcome intrusion of jealousy that comes with comparison. It might be yet another occasion to lament the mistakes you made, or the words you didn't say, or the kindness you never knew. It might be an annual injury you sustain. Consider this a personal love letter to you who are struggling today. You whose Mother's Day experience might be rather bitter sweet, or perhaps only bitter. This is consent to feel fully the contents of your heart without censorship or guilt or alteration. If you are hurting, then hurt. May you feel permission to cry or grieve, to be not all right. May you relieve yourself of the burden of pretending everything is fine or taking stability or faking stability, or concealing the damage. May you feel not a trace of guilt for any twinge of pain or anger that seizes you today, because it is your right to feel. Above all, though, may you find encouragement even in your profound anguish. May you find in your very sadness the proof that your heart, though badly broken, still works. Let the pain you are enduring reassure you that you still have the capacity to care deeply, despite how difficult it has been. See your grief as a terrible tax on loving people well, and see your unquenched longing for something better as a reminder of the goodness within you that desires a soft place to land. If on this Mother's Day you are struggling, know that you are not alone. May these words be the flowers that you wait for, or the call that won't come, or the conversation that you can't have, or the reunion that has not yet arrived. Let them be hope packed and personally delivered to the center of your heart, and may they sustain you. In this time of great pain, know that you are seen and heard, and that you are more loved than you realize. Be greatly encouraged today. Many emotions happen on days like today. I'm grateful that you're here to spend it with us together. So, now on with words of my own. Our scripture reading takes place during the Festival of Dedication, which we might more commonly know as Hanukkah. The festival is full of joy. Yet in our scripture we learn that Jesus' critics are not joy-filled. Jesus is asked by his critics, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense?" Jesus isn't real clear with his answer. He's not a black and white kind of guy in this Gospel of John. This is still the case today. We study the Bible. We have many, many different Bible studies, and yet it seems as though there's never one clear, precise answer. One scholar, Gary Jones, says, "Holy Scripture invites us to experience and participate in rich stories with multiple meaning." One of Jesus' answers is, "I have told you, but you do not believe." What he's saying in the gray area is that he has shown through his actions who he is. In another not so black and white way, Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd. He says the sheep hear his voice and follow. Jones says, "This becomes clear in the analogy of the sheep and shepherd. The sheep know and trust the shepherd, not because they have gone through any sort of rational, intellectual discernment, but because they have experienced the shepherd and his works. In the same way, a child knows and trusts his or her mother because of experience, not reason. And it is not an accident that Jesus elsewhere says, 'Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it.'" Hear and follow. It's not just one or the other. It's hear and then do something about it. Some mothers are mothers by birth, and some are mothers through love. Being a mother is challenging. If we think of the Mother Mary, as was so beautifully sung about today, she went through a lot. Before she was even a mother, we can imagine she might have been criticized for being pregnant and unwed. She had a hard time because we see the pictures, the images of her with a big pregnant belly on a donkey riding far distances. And then at the cross, a mother, at the end, seeing her son crucified. Being a mother is challenging. Mother Teresa, never a mother by birth, but caregiver to many, said this, "I wanted to become a mother to the poorest of the world's poor." And I know there are many mothers who have come out of this church. You know, the church mother who seems to be a mother or a grandmother to like all the children. And in talking with people, I heard Betty Christen was one of those mothers. We'll be challenged throughout our life. Stay faithful, stay moral. Our mothers or mother figures have shown us. Jesus says, "I have told you through my deeds." Our mothers and mentors have shown us how to be faithful and moral through their deeds and their actions. Listen and follow. Another great area statement that Jesus made was, "Abba, God and I are one." Jesus says he and God are one in the same. Jesus had answered to the critics, "I told you, but you do not believe." And then he follows up with this statement, "Abba, God and I are one." What might he have meant by this? And why weren't people getting it when he said it? Well, let's hold on to that thought just for a minute. I have made an observation in my point of view that people seem to be seeking revenge when they don't get their way. When I say don't get their way, I mean life doesn't go how they expect it. They may be upset with a person or a kind of person or a situation. Instead of reflection, they seek revenge or want to hurt others as they are hurting. And this may be conscious or unconscious thinking. It seems the revenge, fear, and anger are a cloud over us today. As Christians, we know things are going to happen. One of the myths of Christians and seekers is that when one is a Christian, everything is going to be wonderful. No more problems. Things are going to be great. From my generation, we would say everything was going to be hunky-dory. The truth is, as a Jesus follower, life will still have challenges. Things aren't always going to go our way. Things are not going to go the way we expect them to go. The difference is, with persons of faith, is that we are able to know that things don't have to go our way, that life happens. But we are never alone. God is always with us. In Psalm 139, it says, "I cannot run from you, O God." As life throws us challenges, let's seek reflection, community, and God, not revenge. So in response to the question Jesus has asked, how long will you keep us in suspense? The scholar Lewis Donaldson shares some thoughts. And these thoughts affect our interpretation of Scripture, but also our response to Scripture and our faith. Donaldson says, the story of Jesus reveals the character of God. Abba, God, and I are one. This oneness also reveals the character of those who belong to Jesus. Listen and follow. Amen.